13:11 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the second. All those in favor of the motion, second by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is for the body. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 13:11 and 13:41 be adopted. For the body's knowledge, this is the House bill that dealt with autism insurance coverage. The Senate committee substitute was some compromise language that we have had the autism advocates and the insurance industry when negotiating and working on. There's roughly mainly four differences from what we have passed out of here. We have brought the cost down again significantly. The big thing is the cap is now, it is at $45,000 rather than the $55,000 that we had passed out of here this year. Also, we went to the House position on the age. It goes up to age 18. We took the licensing language that the House had put in there, and we adopted most of that. And pretty much, that was pretty much the main differences from what we had passed out of here already. And what that does to the cost, I know that's a big concern for some, is it brought that down again to where now the fiscal note on this is just a little over $400,000. Working with the appropriations chair, we were able to make reductions in the budget to make this, at the time we thought it was cost neutral. Now, since we dropped the cost even more, should be well under the cost of what we had anticipated. For what that does on a premium side, the latest actuarial figures says that is a 0.25% premium increase. So all the things we had heard about that's going to drastically raise insurance rates, all the actuarial studies on this new Senate committee substitute is now 0.25% of a premium increase. So again, I think it gets back to we've done our best to really minimize this. We still have the most advantageous small business exemption that we have ever passed on any type of insurance bill like this that does allow a small business to opt out if their premiums do increase. But we've done our best to try to reach compromise with the House and the insurance industry. We brought down the cost. We have maintained the small business exemption. And we would like to send this House bill back over to the House so that we can continue moving this ball forward. And I'll gladly answer any questions. If not, Mr. President, I would renew my motion.
Senator from the second has moved that House Bill 1311 be third read and finally passed. Does any senator desire to be heard? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Senator, you need to move the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
Okay, does any senator desire to be heard on the motion? Senator from the 14th.
I'd like to inquire the Senator from the second, please.
Senator from the second, you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Okay, Senator, we have been jockeying around this issue most of the session. I'm trying to figure out how many children will not be covered with the stipulations that we have changed. What are we looking at in terms of covering the children with this?
Well, I would say from what we have passed out of here, the only kids that probably that won't be covered would be those that were above age 18. Because we had originally had 21 in our original version. We moved that down to through the 18th year. So I would think that's probably really the only thing that has changed from what we have talked about that would probably, you know, be exclusionary.
So by coming down to 18 rather than 21, we're saving how much money?
Well, I mean, the fiscal note dropped from 1.7 to about 440,000. You took that off, plus you lowered the cap on the amount of coverage that you could receive. So those two things kind of right there is kind of what lowered it down.
Okay, now I think that if we, I'm asking because I need to know the ABA therapy, I believe, is what now is the contentious issue about what's being covered under insurance and what is not. Is that correct?
Yeah, the ABA therapy is the one that has the cap on it, and that's the most successful way to treat autism in a lot of families. So yeah, that is covered in here, and that is covered up through age 18.
And
the age 18 is only on the ABA therapy.
Right, because my understanding was that it really only was effective if we on younger children. I'm not sure. I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
That's a very accepted general statement. Is it the later the years, less it's used, the less effective it is? There are some instances where it still can be effective, but on a on a large scale statistical number. The older that the child gets, the less it's using, and that's, you know, brings down the cost. So,
okay. All right. Now, I also understand that when we started this, there was some controversy or some concern about the Medicaid patients, the Medicaid children being covered with this. Now, are they still in?
Yeah, we still have the senator from the 24th language that does protect the existing waiver program that we do have in the state. So that, you know, that is protected. That was funded in the budget. So this doesn't change anything with that at all. So the language is still in there that the senator from 24th had brought up and we had worked on.
Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Oh, Senator from Howell, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire the senator from St. Charles.
Senator from St. Charles, you yield?
I do yield.
He does. Proceed.
And I would like to personally thank the senator from Howell for allowing this to be brought out of this committee.
Yeah.
He has been a true true leader and someone that does listen to people, and I do appreciate his leadership and his ability to allow the body to weigh in on these important matters.
Well, thank you, Senator. That flattery will get you everywhere. But the I respect you for working hard this, and the senator from the 15th, you believe strongly in this. And you know, my perspective on it is, you know, from the small business standpoint. And one of the concerns that I had with it was the cost of small businesses. And that was reaffirmed. And I know that I showed you a letter from a typical small business that I have in my district. But, you know, I think this is typical of small businesses all across the state. You know, in this day and market, that, you know, it's very tough out there. But, you know, and I just wanted to read a few excerpts from that letter. But they basically explained to me, you know, the problems of small businesses and trying to compete in this economy, and basically being in a situation where the federal government does a lot of things very stupidly when it comes to economic development, when it comes to small businesses. And that's one of the things that we've talked about, tax credits, is it seems like government adds these, that helps the big guys at the top, but the people that produce jobs are all across this state, 92%, you know, are pretty well left to fend on their own, which is good, because when someone stands up and says, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you," I go screaming to the exit just like everybody else, because I can't handle it much of their help. But they listed, four items that, and this company was one of those that I would drive by on my way to Jeff City, and the parking lot was always full because it had several employees, and I believe they had 17 employees. And in the last few years, I've noticed as I drive by, there's only one or two cars out there. And, I was wondering, well, are they building another facility somewhere, or is business down that much? And this week, you know, about a couple of weeks ago, I got a letter from them, and they basically went over 4 points of what is happening to their company. Now, the first one is we can't do much about it, job exports. But what they state is, a large part of our business consists of doing pre-press services for the children's publishing industry. Unfortunately, all that work now is being done in India. Even with the lower overhead we have here in the Ozarks, we've not come close to competing with India and lost every bit of that business. So that's a business that a small business was doing that is now part of overseas India doing. The next one was a guide to real estate that they published, and because of the lending practices of Fannie and Freddie, the real estate market is, as you know, very, very low right now, and they can't even recoup any of their cost on a real estate buyer's guide that they're producing. The stimulus bill, you remember the stimulus bill, it was going to help all of us. When the bill passed, we were hopeful that we'd be able to do income averaging for the years of 04 to 08, as 04 and 07 was good years for us. However, we had to have a loss to qualify and weren't able to use it, even though we had lost more than 75% of our income in 08. So the tax policies are working against them, because they weren't able to go back and use years that were good versus the years that were bad. But the one that hit me the most was when they talked about health insurance. And I know you've done what you could to cushion the blow to small companies, but again, I want to stress, is this only affects companies that have insurance for their employees. So this doesn't affect, won't affect this company at all because they've already made the choice to drop insurance. It'll only hit those small companies now that are struggling, trying to figure out a way to continue insurance premiums on their employees. And I just wanted to bring this up to you that this company, the paragraph that they wrote me is, finally, our situation with our company's health insurance needs need to be told to you. For years and years, we had a very comprehensive health insurance coverage for our company. Throughout the years, we tried to keep the cost streamlined by trying to drop various services. However, we were told by our agent that the various services we wanted to drop couldn't be done because our state government mandated we have those services. Unfortunately, in May of 2008, we had to completely drop our health insurance. As of today, we do not have health insurance for our remaining employees and our family. So, you know, when you see things like that, it's not just this. It's just, I believe it's 40-some mandates that we have put on small businesses across the state that begins the process of getting you into a position where you can't afford to do it anymore because bottom line, you have to make a profit to be able to survive as a company. And what we're doing today is a very noble cause, but it does add to the bottom line of that individual that right now is struggling to pay those insurance premiums and is trying to consciously make the decision whether to continue another year or drop that coverage. Now, this company's already made the decision to drop the coverage, so this won't affect them. But, you know, I just wonder... You know, I've talked to you in the past about that. I'd sit down and shut up if you could show me a piece of campaign material that any one of us says, I'm going to go to Jeff City and I'm going to pass mandates down on small businesses. You know, it's usually that we're going to have less regulation, less regulations on small business and allow you to go out and grow. But yet we come in this body and we turn around and we pass down an insurance mandate. Now, call it what you want. You know, this is a very noble cause that you picked up, but this is an insurance mandate, which is one reason small businesses across this state are dropping their health care coverage. So, you know, I just wanted to bring that horse back out and kick on it again for a while so that you can understand why I am opposed to this, because it's just not this. It's mandates in general on small business, because this will be a cost. You know, I wouldn't have a problem to say, you know, give the small business owner an ability to opt in, but we don't give them ability to opt out until there is a financial cost to the small business. And right now, you know, we just passed, on the national level, basically a universal health care program that now the government department has come out and says, well, they may have underestimated the cost to businesses, and it could end up costing more in the long run. So, to me, this is just another kick that small businesses are going to take, because it is going to increase their bottom line. It is going to get to the point of diminishing return where more and more small businesses are going to simply drop coverage, and we'll end up having less people on insurance. And then we would go out and complain and wonder what happened that small businesses aren't giving insurance to their employees. Why do we have more and more people with no health insurance coverage? And what happens is we have to look at us, because we passed mandates down on them that contributed to the rising cost of health care insurance. So I guess that's about it.
I understand your position. And
as Forrest Gump once said, that's about all I got to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that. Ow, something bit me. Well, thank you, Senator. I understand, and I think we've done our best to meet those concerns.
Senator from the 23rd, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the Senator from the 2nd?
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
I do yield.
I
appreciate the great deal of patience that you've had as you've worked on this legislation for the past 2 years. I came by. I know that the senator from Howell cares passionately about this issue, and wasn't sure how much time he was going to spend discussing it with you. And just, I passed you a note to let you know you were born and raised in St. Charles.
I was. And, well, I wasn't born. I was raised there.
Yes. Former St. Cletus.
That's Cleet. Right.
And I just wanted you to know that up in the upper gallery, we had the seventh graders from Emmanuel Lutheran here with us this morning.
Emmanuel Lutheran, that's a great school in St. Charles County. Now, did you go to that school?
I did not go to
You did
Emmanuel,
not go to that school. But, wow, just think how successful you would have become if you had gone to that school.
I know. I might be the senior senator instead of the junior senator from St. Charles. But,
well, I am glad that they came up to see their senator in action. And I do have to say, probably one of the most effective, well-liked senators in,
God bless.
This.
You're very kind.
It was the senator from Howell they just heard from, and you're a pretty good one, too. So.
Well, I know the senator from Lawrence is a fine, upstanding Lutheran, which I just recently became aware of. So appreciate your work on this legislation, and glad that they could come down to the Capitol today and see one of the fine senators from St. Charles County in action.
And the other one.
So. Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on a motion from the senator for the second? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do want to thank the senator from Howell again for his willingness to allow the body to weigh on this important measure. I do want to thank the senator from the 15th. For being a tireless advocate for children in the autism community, along with all the senators that have recently supported this last year and this year, and all those that were involved in trying to get all the different parties to come to somewhat of an agreement. Some don't like it still, some do. But I think this is a very good piece of legislation. I think we can move this forward, and we can put this behind us, and with the body's support. Thank you, Mr. President. I close.